In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you know that I had an unexpected death in the family this week. A dear cousin of mine in Georgia died quietly in her sleep last Sunday night. She had just spent the previous weekend hosting a family reunion at her house, and nobody saw this coming, which of course made her death that much more difficult. It was a hard reminder that the life we live in this world is such a fragile and temporary thing. For we have not here a lasting city, the book of Hebrews says, and indeed, we don't. Ever since death entered into the world, it has been our constant foe. It lurks around the corner as an ever-present threat. We may try to ignore it and act like it doesn't exist, but we only fool ourselves. We may try to fight it, and we should. Health and vitality and life should be important to us, but in the end, death still claims us. No amount of eating kale will save us. No gun or weapon, and no machine will keep us alive forever. In all of human history, only one man has ever proven that he has power over death. Only one. In the vision that St. John had of the redeemed gathered in heaven, the multitude are singing this song: salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels reply, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Nothing on this earth has the power to save us. Nothing on this earth is eternal. We have not here a lasting city. That does not mean that we are to live only for the moment with no thought to the future. We are not told to be foolish. But rather, we are encouraged to always keep an eye on our ultimate future. We are told to recognize that our true salvation belongs to God and to His Son, the Lamb, not to the stuff of this world which so preoccupies us. That whole passage from Hebrews says, "For we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We must always keep an eye on the city that is to come. Salvation belongs to God. And through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, he has offered it to us. We have been given the promise of living in that everlasting city of God. Death, which we could never defeat on our own, has been beaten for us. We don't know exactly what the next life will be like, but we have witnessed the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruit. And our faith is that by living in him and sharing in his life, we too will share in that resurrection. We too will be like him. That faith should affect how we live our lives in the world. It was that faith that led the saints throughout the ages to sacrifice the things of this world so that they could invest their time, energy, and treasure and the city that is to come. The saints sacrificed worldly goods, worldly pleasures. They sacrificed lives of fame and fortune. They changed their priorities. They recognized by listening to the words of Christ that the things this world values are very often not the things that God values. The promise of heaven changed how the saints lived in this world. It should change how we live in this world, too. We are called to be saints of God. That doesn't mean that we all achieve in this life what the church labels as sainthood, but it should be our aspiration. We are called to take our place next to the redeemed in heaven who sing before God's throne. Our lips should proclaim the salvation that belongs to our God. Because we have been promised entrance into that lasting city, we should have a better appreciation of what has lasting value, and we should invest our time and money accordingly. I'll be honest with you, I have lots of regrets in my life. I regret money that I have spent on stuff that never brought me the joy or the satisfaction that was promised. I regret time that I wasted chasing after meaningless things with no lasting value. I'll tell you what I don't regret, though. I don't regret one cent of what I have given to God in thanksgiving for all that He has given me. I don't regret one second of time that I have ever spent in worship or in prayer. I don't regret going to one family reunion. And I don't regret holding the hand of one person who was dying. I regret much of what I have wasted in this life, but the time and treasure that I have given to God have never been wasted. When I make a sacrifice to God, whether it is money or time, I know that I am investing in something that has true and lasting value. When my day comes, which it someday surely will, I want to be able to look at my life and see that at some point I decided to start investing my time and my money wisely. At some point, I decided to stop chasing after more stuff and chose to put God first. At some point, I decided to stop letting television and other people tell me what to value, and instead decided to start investing in the things that Christ invested in. That's what I want to be able to say when my day comes. At some point, I recognized that salvation belongs to God, and it changed the way I live in this world. I want to challenge you today to make a decision. I want to encourage you for a moment to look at all the stuff in your life. Look at all the people in your life. Think about how you spend your time. Think about how you spend your money. Now ask yourself this question: what has lasting value? What is truly worthy of your time and your money? Now, invest accordingly. Yes, we are asking you today to pray about what financial sacrifice God is calling you to make for His kingdom through the work of this church. But I also want to encourage you to pray about how you are spending your time. Could you give God 10 or 15 extra minutes a day? Could you take the first 10 or 15 minutes of your day and spend them saying morning prayer? Or maybe take a few minutes before you go to sleep at night to read scripture or say evening prayer, or Compline. Instead of reading the news on your train ride to work, could you listen to morning prayer or an inspirational message instead? If so, let me help you with that. That's why I'm here. I promise you, it's an investment that you won't regret. Who are the saints in heaven? John has told us that these are those who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You could say that that is just a vision written down by a man long ago. But I don't know. To me, especially this week, that sounds like something worth investing in. Amen.